It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and if you've been a student in this school, then you know what we're doing. We've been studying Old Testament history, and we've come to the story of the reigns of the kings. We've talked about the reign of King Saul and the reign of King David, and now we're turning to the reign of King Solomon. And in helping us through these studies, we're looking at old Sunday school lessons written by E.A. Elam. And this particular lesson was written for the Sunday schools of March 23rd, 1924. And we'll be following Elam's notes and the scripture references that he makes in this in just a moment. Until we do, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's get into our study of the reign of Solomon. The time of the beginning of Solomon's reign is placed at 1,015 years before Christ. That's 1015 B.C. And early in his reign, he is called an assembly at Gibeon. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every prince in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' houses. So Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tent of meeting of God, which Moses, the servant of Jehovah, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God David had brought up from Kiriath-Jearim to the place that David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, and was there before the tabernacle of Jehovah, and Solomon and the assembly sought unto it. That altar and that tabernacle were now about 500 years old. Solomon called this assembly in order to unify the nation under him as king, and to worship God and seek his guidance. There he offered 1,000 burnt offerings to God. The burnt offering was wholly consumed, or burned, on the altar, according to the law of burnt offerings that we read about in Leviticus chapter 1. Now let's look at the explanatory notes for our text. And so we'll start in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7, where it says, In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. That night, that would be the night after these offerings were made, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God had often appeared to people in dreams in the Bible. He appeared in a dream to Jacob, and then later to Joseph. And Joseph interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker and the Pharaoh. We read about God appearing to Daniel, or sending Daniel messages through dreams, and Nebuchadnezzar's dream. You remember that one. He appeared to Joseph, Mary's husband, in a dream, telling him to not stay in Bethlehem, but to flee to Egypt. Joel prophesied, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. That's in Joel 2:28, and then quoted by Peter in Acts 2:17 and 18. These dreams came through the influence of the Holy Spirit and were supernatural or miraculous. We read about Paul having visions and dreams. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, Paul writes, I must need glory, though it is not expedient, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body, I know not, or whether out of the body, I know not, God knoweth, such a one caught up even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I know not, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for man to utter. On behalf of such a one will I glory, but on my own behalf I will not glory, save in my weakness. For if I should desire glory, I shall not be foolish, for I shall speak the truth. But I forbear, lest any man should account me above that which he seemeth me to be, or heareth from me. And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted overmuch, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted overmuch. So we see God communicating to men in dreams is not unfamiliar in the Bible. Now, dreams and such, it seems, are nothing, but they are significant as the Lord gives them meaning and interpretation. Let me read to you this from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 through 32. Am I a God at hand, saith Jehovah, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places, so that I shall not see him, saith Jehovah? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith Jehovah? I have heard what the prophets have said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophet that prophesy lies, even the prophets of deceit of their own heart, that think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man his neighbor as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the straw to the wheat, saith Jehovah? Is not my word like fire, saith Jehovah, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophet, saith Jehovah, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophet, saith Jehovah, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against that prophet lying dreams, saith Jehovah, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their vain boastings. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, neither do they profit this people at all, saith Jehovah. People today sometimes think they get a message from God from dreams, but doesn't Jeremiah warn us against that? To think that someone is going to get a message of God today from a dream, when we have his complete written word before us, don't seek for God in these vain visions and dreams. And if you have dreams, there might be some meaning to that, some psychological thing going on in your head. But don't mistake your dreams for dreams and visions from God. These men in the Bible, when they received dreams, knew they were receiving messages from God. And as so often is the case, those dreams are interpreted and they understood. And so did Solomon. And so God asked him in this dream, ask what I shall give thee. This privilege would reveal what was uppermost in Solomon's heart. And this is the boldness we have toward him, we read, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we ask of him. 1 John 5:14-15. And we read in 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. That which we most greatly desire, we're most apt to pray for. And if it is in accordance with God's will, he will most readily give it to us. God is pleased with our asking for much if we will use it to his glory. We receive not when we ask amiss, that we may consume it on our lust. James said in James 4, verses 2 and 3, ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may spend it on your pleasures. To be able to pray effectively, we pray according to God's will, and we learn in our hearts as we come acquainted with God's will the things to pray for that would be in accordance with his will. And those are the prayers that God loves to hear, and those are the prayers that God loves to fulfill. Well, Solomon prayed for wisdom. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 8, Solomon said unto God, thou hast shown great loving kindness unto David my father, and hast made me king in his stead. Notice how Solomon prefaced his petition by speaking of the great loving kindness God had shown to David. God had not done this for David unconditionally, but only according as he walked before God in truth, that is, in sincerity, in honesty of purpose, and in righteousness, that is, with justice and right to men, and obedience to God, and in uprightness of heart, that is, loyalty to God. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6. While David did wrong sometimes, he desired God's will to prevail even if he himself must suffer the consequences. When David did wrong, God chastised him. Solomon recognized this as just and thanked God for all that he had done for David. One's gratitude for past favors capacitates him for the reception of future blessings. Let me read that again. One's gratitude for past favors capacitates him for the reception of future blessings. To all that God had done for David, he had added this great loving kindness that he had given him a son to sit on his throne, 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6. And Solomon attributed his being king to God's favor and not to his own merit or his own desert. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 9, now, O Jehovah God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 7, Solomon says, I am but a little child. He prayed God to carry out his promises to David. Solomon was a young man, about 20 years of age. As his father expressed it, he is yet young and tender, and the work is great, 1 Corinthians 29 and verse 1. Solomon had the good sense to acknowledge his own unworthiness and incapacity for such work and for his need of wisdom. God can give wisdom to a fool. God blesses men as they are capacitated to receive and to use his blessing. He that hath to him shall be given. One who acknowledges himself a child in knowledge and wisdom is ready to be led by the Lord. If a man think that he is wise among you in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And so Solomon made his great request. In 2 Chronicles 1 and verse 10, he says, give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? You know, even before God granted him this special knowledge, he showed great wisdom in the prayer that he prayed.